Like to welcome you all today to Lake Forest and the fourth in our series of scientific prayer. As you can glean, the series was not entitled Scientific Prayer before, but with the advent of this fourth subject, principle, it certainly did identify itself as that. The series originally didn't have a title, to tell you the truth. And that's why you got the nice long title on it, The Law of Interdependence in the Word, Combination Absolute and Christian Science. But from the very beginning, the material that was being presented was not simply from the standpoint of the chapter in prayer in Science and Health, as I'm sure all of you could recognize as you went through the material and as we went through it together. But from the very beginning, it was coming from a more absolute standpoint. Certainly, the law of interdependence in the Word creating that standpoint. So from the very beginning, it was the tone of the law, especially from the standpoint of absolute Christian Science, the tone of the law of life, truth, and love, the tone of the law of divine impulsion, that was impelling this particular prayer into existence. And the relative aspect of that was obviously the impact that that law of divine impulsion was having on the human, the impact that it was having on that which appears to be you and me, that which appears to be the seeking individuality, that one that is desiring to be guided by that law, desiring to be guided by that light. So from the onset, that certainly was the position that this particular series of prayers was coming forth from. And it is still coming forth from that standpoint, but it has now finally given itself a name that comes forth from the law, that of scientific prayer, that type of prayer that we all really need to be in, that we all have been seeking to be in for as long as we have imbibed this particular study, or perhaps even prior to that time, if we were desiring within ourselves to be at one with the infinite, whatever that was. So the subject under consideration today in the fourth part of the series is principle. It's therefore the law of principle. It is therefore the prayer of principle. So as we gather here today, really we gather in an atmosphere of prayer. We gather in an atmosphere of praying as principle would wish us to pray, therefore scientific prayer. And in order for us to get in touch with that principle and with its scientific prayer, I felt we must first review for ourselves a little bit the prayers that have gone on prior to this one. The prayer of mind, the prayer of spirit, the prayer of soul, just so that we, without difficulty, can find our way into this position scientifically, with accuracy. First, it is necessary for us to silence the chatter that goes on in our minds, to silence the chatter of mortal mind, to silence the sights and sounds, the images that that mentality seems to produce. And you all know, no matter how hard we try to stay focused, throughout our day, we get these little beepy signals mentally that are coming all the time, thoughts, voices, pictures, images that are just imposing themselves all day long throughout our day. Some of that could be coming from the divine. Some of that could just be coming from our own private imagination, from our own mental pictures, from the collective mental pictures. Therefore, we have to be able to distinguish where it's coming from. In order to do that, we have to do just what I've said, silence the chatter, silence the false perceptions. And as the epitomes in Max's book were stating, and as the prior prayer papers that I put out were stating, the first step in silencing that mental chatter is our willingness to let go of our own desires, our willingness to let an infinite intelligence impose itself upon our desires, our willingness to let that intelligence motivate our prayers, to let it guide the pictures, to let it impel itself upon us. And in order to allow it to do that, we have to have our minds clear enough of mortal thought to let it in. It can be what it is, and it can be producing its images, but if we have a lot of clatter in there, we're not going to pick up its images. We are going to resist them. So the second stage, then, is to clear the focus of our minds, to quiet our minds, to relinquish our private images, our false desires, so we can therefore respond to the imprint of that infinite intelligence, the imprint of that mind. And then we have to go a step further. We have to have the humility to change our minds, the humility to change the grasp that our former pictures have had on us, the humility to be open to the new picture that is coming, the new desire, the new image that may be coming to us. And that really means relinquishing the old images, the old beliefs, the worn-out thoughts, even in science. It really means totally being open and willing and humble enough to change our minds. And then to let those new images combine and operate, allowing, therefore, our mental activities to harmonize with the systematic procedures of that infinite intelligence. That mind is its own principle, so therefore, that mind does operate its own mind, its own intelligence, its own images. And as it operates those images, we have to be open enough, free enough, humble enough to allow it to operate the images of our mind, to allow it to combine them and relate them as it would see fit. Not to have just isolated images coming into us, but to allow that mind to coordinate those images into whatever. An image, a picture, a full thought, a sentence, a creative idea, whatever it may be. But we have to allow the principle of that mind to regulate our thoughts. And then it's wonderful, because then we just have to sit back and experience the outpouring of its ideas. And that's no effort at all. The effort goes on through the mind, spirit, soul, and principle stages of that mind. But after that, when you get to the 3.5, the effort is gone. You're just locked into the operation of that infinite intelligence, and you just allow. From there on, it's just an allowing. You allow it to pour forth the images of its mind. acknowledging then in the sixth position that those images are the real images and that they're correct and that an all-perceiving, all-hearing mind knows what it's doing, and we have to trust that it knows what it's doing and not have a doubtful mentality of any sort. Accepting the blessing of that divine knowledge, accepting the blessing of those incredible, all-encompassing images that are coming forth from that mind, accepting that there is an infinite intelligence and that that infinite intelligence really has the capability and has already cut through the veil of the darkness that we've been sitting in, or the veil of the false beliefs or mysterious notions that we've had, that it has been able to really turn on the light. And at that point, you really have that first stage of the law of interdependence where mind is saying, and let there be light. And there was light, and it was good. So at this point, we have allowed that divine intelligence to bring us into that enlightened state, to clear all of the cobwebs out of our mentality and allow its images to be our images. At which point we reach the second major stage, the second in our series, that subject of spirit. And spirit, as you remember, had a very different sound, a very different place value. Instead of a perceptual place value as mind had, we were getting in touch with a very internal place value, a very feeling center, a very feeling place. And principle at that point, excuse me, it's really spirit. I've got principle on my mind today. Spirit at that point is really focusing us on those images, on those ideas that have come forth from the conceptualizing mind. And it is therefore allowing us and bidding us to culture the spiritual qualities. You can feel at that place value that there's an inner development going on, that it's not just perceptual, but that we're really being led by that spirit to turn within. We're really on an inward journey at that point. You know, you can study forever. You can study the science of being forever. It's a mind activity, and it's wonderful, and it's necessary, and it's first, and it must be there. But you must then go on to the second place value of spirit, not just in what you study, but in how you study, because that place value really puts you into a spiritual journey. It really forces you to go within. And it says in the first instance that you have to have absolute consecration of thought, energy, and desire. You can feel right at that place value that the whole tone has changed, because consecration is an inner feeling. So you have to have absolute consecration of thought, energy, and desire. So everything that you've gleaned from that divine intelligence, you now have to be consecrated to. No question about it. You just have to devote yourself to those images, those ideas that that infinite intelligence has produced, and really be willing to embark on the spiritual journey. And then it's a lot of gratitude, as you can remember. It's gratitude for the good that we've already received. What is the good that we've already received? It's those wonderful ideas that have come forth from that infinite intelligence. And then beyond that, it's being grateful to the giver of those ideas, grateful to the divine spirit, but really grateful to life, truth, and love, the God spirit at that point that has given forth the ideas. So remember, we went on this incredible little journey within at the time together, where we were grateful for the fruit of our experience. Then we were grateful really for the essence of that fruit, for the qualities that stood behind that fruit that allowed the manifestation of that fruit. And then we were on this spiritual quicksand where we went further within, and we were grateful for the source of those gifts. We have to be there today, too, because only in being there are we going to fulfill the directives of the second request, which is to silence the chatter of the heart, to silence the chatter of the feelings, to silence the chatter that goes on within of our own affections, of our own longings, of our own reaching from within, and to make it very quiet in there. And so with this dedication, this consecration of thought, energy, and desire, coupled with incredible gratitude, you can take the journey within. You can go within. And we have to go so far within and be so grateful that we're willing to give proof of that gratitude by echoing the feelings and desires of that infinite being, that infinite God, that infinite subjective, whatever you would like to call it. I say being, but that from which all gifts come. We have to allow it to produce its effects in our experience, and then be dedicated to its aims, struggling ever to express its intentions in everything that we do. Improving daily, focusing more on the qualities, focusing more on the real, less on the unreal. That's a whole daily activity. That isn't just something you do for a half hour in the morning and then forget it. It's really going on all day long, changing one's inner reality, allowing that reality to be more spiritual, less material, more dedicated to the qualities of spirit, less dedicated to that which appears as matter. Until we're so immersed in the presence of those spiritual qualities that whatever false loyalties we've been clinging to just fade away. You don't have to kick them out the door. They just gently fade away. We go gently into spirit, but I think it's wonderful that we have a signpost to know how to go gently into spirit. Most people desire to do so, or they wouldn't pray to begin with. They wouldn't start looking within and turning to a spiritual force for gifts and favors unless they wanted to be blessed by that. We are fortunate in that we have a method for going within, and a method that is very foolproof, a method of focusing deeply on the spiritual and breaking the illusionary focus on mental thoughts, on mental images, on what I seem to perceive mentally. Until we finally, at last, quiet our hearts, quiet the longings, quiet the false affections, until we are unified with spirit, which brings us to the third preparation for today, and the third in our series of scientific prayer, that subject which dealt with soul. And again, when we entered that sanctuary of prayer, we felt a very different environment right away. There was a different tone that was overseeing what we were doing the last time we got together. That tone was telling us, even though we didn't address it maybe directly, to silence the chatter of the senses, to go beyond the physical, corporeal, even psychic senses, to penetrate through their veil, to silence them and be open and responsive to spiritual sense. Like perceives like. And unless we are quiet in our sensing perceptions, unless we can still the noise, and it is very noisy, of the physical senses. Everyone knows when the body speaks, it's very noisy, and it is very difficult not to listen. But if we are to get in touch with being itself, if we are going to finally lock in to that being, we must not listen to that noise either. We mustn't listen to the chatter of the senses, the chatter of the body, no matter how tempting it may appear to be. We have to first get in touch with our instincts. I think that's key, first of all, because we are all instinctive, whether we realize it or not, and we're all responding either to animal instinct or psychic instinct or spiritual instinct. And because people respond automatically, they feel for sure that they must be responding to the highest instinct, but that isn't necessarily true. You know, even if I desire it up in mind with all of my being, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm in touch with spiritual sense, or I'm in touch with that instinct. I could be responding automatically to a survival instinct, an animal instinct, or I could be responding to the psychic melodrama that has gone on for centuries that's in the collective mind and that's in the collective atmosphere of spirit. And so therefore I could be responding to that instead of responding to the atmosphere of spirit, which is why you can see this is a very orderly progression. First of all, obviously I have to have quieted the feelings so that I can be one with that spirit in order then to get in touch with spiritual sense. It's just logical. There isn't any other way to do it, even if we desire to do it a different way. And it's really the quickest path inward. So we have to get in touch with which instinct is motivating us and attempt at least to perceive the ideational nature of our bodies, of our identity, allowing those qualities that we've been reflecting upon in spirit to really clearly identify themselves for us. And in order to do so, we really have to detach from the little I, remember? Detach from self. Let go of the private identity that we feel that we have. Let go of Maria. That's what I have to do, right? Detach from my identification as Maria. Let go of whatever limited fixations on that identity that I may have, and be malleable enough, flexible enough to change, to relinquish the self that I've come to call my own, and strong enough to withhold myself from the magnetic poles. Recall, we talked a lot about the polarization in soul. Rather than being swayed by emotion from side to side, to be still enough. Really malleable enough to be still enough. Sounds funny, but it's true. willing to be quiet enough in the senses, willing to be quiet enough to get in touch with soul, to get in touch with that infinite identity, to be transformed, really, to be restored to a state of incorporeality, to be restored to our original identity. Then, soul as principle centered in the divine soul, no longer polarized, suffering with a false sense of the body, but completely reconstructed. And you can say, well, that's resurrection. That's finished. And I'd say that's true. Because the work that we have to do is done, in a sense, at that point. The lie is really done at that point. The issues are totally different after that point. So you can see that the journey through mind, spirit, and soul is a very deep one, because we're really talking about ultimate resurrection, ultimate reconstruction out of the false sense of our present so-called identity into the true sense of our real identity. Ready then for our own immortality, the restoration of our true identity, transfigured in soul, the unity then of our celestial selfhood. I said before, the crystal transparency of our identity, united once again with its subjective being, its subjective creator, the soul of being. So already through the first three stages of this prayer, we may not have absolutely been able to prove it, or I think we'd be meeting today in a different form, but certainly the issues have been put out. And therefore, you will see as we continue today that there is an enormous transition that goes on between that which we have imbibed before, which had very much a feeling of working out of the human, an ascending viewpoint, even though it was the law of life, truth, and love, the law of divine impulsion, which was impelling the ascent, even though it was that law that was saying, and let there be light, and let there be a firmament, and let there be dry land. Okay, even though it was that law that was impelling it, very much the transformations have been on the ascent. That law has been impacting upon what appeared to be my individuality, what appeared to be my consciousness, and has forced it through a mental transformation, an internal transformation, a bodily transformation. It has brought me through, or at least showed me the pathway through, those three stages. That brings us to the fourth subject, the subject that is going to be our major focus of concentration for the rest of the morning and part of the afternoon, that of principle. And with that, we're going to turn the tape.